on our way to church here, as we were driving, and we were kind of in a hurry, in front of us there was a car. And I looked at the license plate, and I said, is it really? And okay, I looked even carefully, and it was. And I talked to Mirella, and the license plate said, me first. A license plate that says, me first. And I'm thinking, me first. Is that person really happy? Is that person really doing and living up to his or her potential? Coming back to the question that I posed to you two times ago when I was here, are you, or is that person, are you living the life that God intends you to live? And I suggested at that time that in order for us to do that, as young persons, we need to have a statement of faith, a philosophy, a Christian philosophy of life. And last time I said, I would start that philosophy of life, not with me first, but with God first. Using the words that Jesus Christ said in Matthew 22:23, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, I said, a possible Christian philosophy of life, something that's brief, practical, something that can be used at any given time, could start with this. The most important relationship in my life is my relationship with God. And you know, we have several examples in the Bible of people who were not ashamed to state their philosophy of life. A sentence or sentences that summarized everything they did. If you look at an older person, you don't have to be young, you can be older to have that. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if you read the book of Acts, after Paul meets Jesus, you read all his letters, you will realize that everything can be summed up by these words. For me to live is Christ. Everything Paul did gravitated around this statement. If you look for younger persons in the Bible who have a philosophy of life, you can look no longer or no further than to the three youngsters, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3:17. By the way, how many of you have read the book of Daniel? Completely, be honest, you are in the house of the Lord. Not too many. I know you read, and I had a student this week, and he was so proud to say, I have never read in my entire life, he's 18, a book that was not required. This is a required reading, guys. So read it. The book of Daniel is one of the most important books of how to deal as Christian, as the children of God, in a hostile culture. And we are living in a hostile culture. Anyway, those three youngsters were saying, the God we serve is able to save us. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So I said, a possible beginning for a Christian philosophy of life is my relationship with God, with the God of the Bible, is the most important relationship I have. I am committed to him 100%. Last time I said that there are some connections killers, because a relationship means what? A connection with another person. And you can have the static of sin that kills that relationship. You can have no service. You can also roam out of the coverage area. If we continue that imagery or that analogy with the cellular phone service, I wanna challenge you to think for a second. If you have your cell phone and it's working and you paid for all the services that come with a cell phone and you have service, but you know, you can only talk, you cannot text, you cannot download, would you be happy? No. How about if you can just download, you can stream, but you cannot talk, you cannot text? Would you be happy? When you want your phone service, you want your complete phone service, right? You want it to work. Well, so is the relationship with God. The relationship with God involves our entire being. And our connection with God, I want to say this. When we look at it as involving our entire being, it's not just a theoretical concept. It's something that affects every practical aspect of our lives. So our connection with God, first of all, is a heart connection. The Word of God said, love your God with all your heart. The heart is where all the relationships start, and the relationship with God is no exception. The heart is more than a muscular organ about the size of your fist. It's more than the organ that pumps all the blood in our body. In Bible, the heart is the center of our physical and emotional life. The heart is the spiritual center of gravity of our entire being, if you want. And in the letters to the Romans, Paul says, then, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe where? In your heart that God raised him from dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe. The wisest man on earth, Solomon, in his youth said with emphasis, above all else, young men and women that are present here, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. There is so much emphasis on the physical aspects of being a Christian, the physical aspect, the outside aspects of purity, for example, the sexual purity, the language, and all these are important. But many times we forget how to get there. It begins with a pure heart, a heart 100% connected, devoted to God. Ask yourself, what do I want to live a pure life? Do I want to live it because it's expected? Because I'm supposed to? Because I'm afraid that if you do that, sooner or later, you will give in. You will succumb to the peer pressure, to the culture. However, if your answer is, I want to live a pure life because my heart belongs to God, then when He is the center of your affection, you will stay pure. We are at the Lord's Supper, a time for soul searching. And I want to ask you, very seriously, not only the two or three who prayed when Frater Lechiera said the youth should pray too, but all of you, do you have a heart connection with God? Is your heart pure? Is your heart undivided? Is your heart belonging entirely to God? Do you gather His word in His heart? Yes, you all sing here at least several times per year. O inimă curată, Doamne, este tot ce-mi doresc din partea ta. But is your heart like that? Our connection with God, secondly, is not only a heart connection, but it's also a soul connection. The Word of God said, love the Lord with all your soul. A soul connection means that all our desires are directed towards God. And young people have lots of desires. Old people have too. But all the desires should be directed toward God. You are completely satisfied with what God offers you. Are you? Jesus speaks about this soul connection, I believe, when He called us to Himself in Matthew 11:28-29. He says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for our souls. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist talks about the need of our souls that our souls have for God. And he says this, as the deer pants for the stream of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. The clarity, the freshness, the nourishment that the spring of water brings to the body is the same as the presence of God brings to the soul. When we talk about living a pure life, many times we talk about a list of do not do this. The Bible tells us that the Lord looks at how intense we desire His presence, how passionate we are to be in His house, in His presence, with what zeal we are listening to His calling, and with what energy we go where He sends us. You might lie to yourself and tell yourself that you are a great person. After all, you come to Tineret, you come to church, you do all the things that you are supposed to do. God knows our most innermost thoughts, the ardor of our souls. And I want to ask you, do you have a soul connection with God? So let me ask you again, is your soul completely satisfied with God? Or is it just partially? Do you still search for something else to quench that thirst? Saint Augustine, one of the greatest men, said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." I pray that you will have a soul connection with God, and nothing else in this world will satisfy your soul more than God. And lastly, our connection is a mind connection with God. A mind connection. Love the Lord with all your mind. We live in an age of reason. We rely so much on our mind, our reasoning in making the decisions. We forget that Satan first corrupted the mind of the first family, sowing the seeds of doubt in the relationship and in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, a church not very cerebral. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." Connecting with your mind means that your thoughts are centered on God and His Word. This doesn't mean that you don't have any other thoughts. It means that you filter every thought through the question, will this bring honor and glory to the Lord? An ancient proverb states, if a man's mind is pure, his surroundings will also become pure. I believe this is true, not because if you think the thoughts of God, you will have the power of Harry Potter to change the surroundings. No. But I believe that the surroundings will become pure because you, a young person whose mind is connected with God, will never put yourself in an impure surrounding. You will never walk in the counsel of the wicked. You will never stand in the way of the sinners. You will never sit in the seat of the mockers. Such a person will quit arguing with himself or herself about how far can he or she go in the direction of sin without sinning. How far is too far? This week in the car, I had a cup of coffee from McDonald's. And in the car, I also had Caitlin. And at one stop, she leaned over and she took a sip of coffee. And it was the first time she said, "I like it." I guess it was a lot of sugar in it. And she took another sip of coffee and she said, "I like it. I am living on the edge." And I looked at her. And then a few minutes later, she said, "If you live on the edge, you will soon fall down." So I said, "Where did you hear this?" She said, "I thought of it." And the reality is this, if you live at the edge of your convictions, you will soon fall down. So I challenge you today at Lord's Supper to search yourself. Do you have a heart connection with God? Do you have a soul connection? Do you have a mind connection with God? Because nothing else matters, and everything follows out of that. May God bless you with that kind of connection with God, and put God first. Amen.